Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This time we're doing something a little different. You gave us quite the challenge, Carolyn Elephant's resume.
It's not just a list of jobs.
It's like a roadmap of the entire energy sector.
It really is.
Expert speaker, how do we even unpack a career this impressive?
I think the thing that's so fascinating about Carolyn's resume is that she isn't just an energy law. She's been shaping it for decades.
We're talking
arguing cases. We're talking drafting legislation. Even founding industry coalitions.
Wow.
This isn't just a deep dive. This is an expedition.
Okay. I'm already hooked. But I got to admit, the first thing that jumps out at me is all this FURC stuff.
Yeah.
For those of us not fluent in energy acronyms, what exactly are we dealing with here?
So FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, is basically the gatekeeper for major energy projects.
Okay.
Think pipelines, hydro dams, setting electricity rates, anything crossing state lines.
Got it.
Carolyn's been involved in all of that, from representing clients in hearings to even leading a 50-person settlement conference on endangered species protection during a dam relicensing.
Oh, wow.
Talk about high-stakes negotiation.
Yeah, so not just knowing the law, but navigating all these competing interests, government, companies, the environment.
Exactly. And it's here that we start to see a recurring theme in Carolyn's career, and that is renewable energy.
Okay.
You know, remember that first FURC license for an ocean energy project in the U.S.?
Wait, so we're talking wave power, tidal currents, that kind of thing?
Precisely. And at the time, this was uncharted territory. You know, it wasn't just about arguing the legal points. It was about convincing FURC that this was a viable and valuable source of energy.
And she didn't just do it once.
And she didn't stop there. She also secured 30 preliminary permits for other water-based energy projects.
30? That's huge.
Yeah.
This isn't just about knowing the law. It's about seeing the potential in new technologies and making them a reality.
Mm.
Okay, I'm seeing a pattern here. This isn't just about winning cases. It's about pushing the whole industry forward.
Mm-hmm.
But hold on. The resume also mentions things like eminent domain environmental reviews.
Mm-hmm.
That's like she's covered every angle of energy law.
That's the thing about the energy sector. It's all interconnected. Land rights, environmental impact, regulatory compliance. It's a web. And Carolyn's been at the center of it.
Oh, wow.
For example, she also recovered over $20 million for landowners affected by energy projects.
Wow. Yeah.
Showing that it's not just about corporate interests. It's about the real people who are impacted by these decisions.
Okay. And not just representing clients, but she's also leading teams of lawyers and consultants.
Yeah.
This is someone who gets things done.
Right.
But then, bam, co-founder of the Ocean Renewable Energy Coalition.
Yes.
She's not just working within the system, she's building new parts of it.
This goes beyond individual cases. Now we're talking drafting legislation, shaping policy, bringing together developers, insurers, even oil and gas companies alongside renewable advocates.
Wow.
That's coalition building on a grand scale.
Okay, and congressional testimonies, publications, teaching at Harvard and GW Law. She's spreading the knowledge too.
Mm.
But here's where my jaw really dropped. Data Science Dojo certification in 2017.
Yeah.
That's not your typical lawyer move.
This is where it gets really interesting. You know, data science and AI are changing everything, including the law.
Wow.
This suggests that she's not just reacting to change, she's anticipating it. She's equipping herself with the tools to stay ahead of the curve.
And now she's a national speaker on law and generative AI. So not just learning, but teaching others how to use these powerful new tools. Okay, time out for a second.
Yeah.
I need to process this.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about someone who can argue before the Supreme Court. And code.
It really highlights an important point, and that is that expertise isn't static.
Right.
Especially in a field as complex and as rapidly changing as energy, you need to be constantly learning and adapting. And that's what I think makes Carolyn's career so fascinating.
All right, back to FERC for a moment. We've talked about hearings, but her resume also mentions being lead counsel on over 50 cases before appeals courts, even the Supreme Court.
Wow.
What kind of legal battles are we talking about here?
These weren't minor disputes. These were setting precedents for the entire energy industry.
Okay.
Pipeline citing government seizure of land for projects rate making under the Federal Power Act.
Wow.
This is complex stuff with huge implications. And she wasn't just participating. She was winning, for example. She successfully secured a new license for a hydro project after years of litigation.
Okay, so we've got a picture of someone who knows FERC, inside out champions, renewable energy can handle high stakes litigation.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, there's more. Before all of this, she was an attorney advisor at FERC back in the 80s.
This is crucial. You know, it wasn't just a job, it was an education.
Yeah.
She was drafting commission orders, she was resolving energy and environmental disputes. She even implemented the NEPA process for a dozen hydro projects.
So she really was learning the system from the inside. which undoubtedly gave her an edge later on.
Absolutely.
So she's seen the energy sector from every angle within FRC, representing clients before them, even challenging their actions. But her resume also mentions advising state regulatory commissions, renewable energy companies, and tribes.
Right.
So broadening her perspective even beyond the federal level.
Exactly. Each state has its own unique energy landscape, its own challenges and opportunities. And by working with these diverse stakeholders, she gained a deeper understanding of the complexities of energy policy at every level.
It's like she's this master chess player, seeing the whole board anticipating moves years in advance.
Right.
I'm honestly blown away by the sheer breadth of experience here.
And we haven't even touched on her work with hydropower licensing yet.
There's more.
From navigating environmental regulations to negotiating joint ventures, that's a whole other chapter in her story.
Okay. I'm officially intrigued, but I think we need to take a breather before we dive into that.
Agreed. When we come back, we'll explore Carolyn's impact on hydropower and how her expertise has shaped the development of this critical energy source.
All right. We're back and ready to tackle hydropower, from what I'm seeing on this resume. It's not just about dams and turbines. It's a whole legal and environmental balancing act.
You hit the nail on the head. You know, hydropower projects, especially the big ones, have a massive impact. We're talking entire ecosystems, water resources, communities that have lived along these rivers for generations. It's not just energy, it's people's lives.
And that's where Carolyn comes in.
Exactly. She's not just an energy lawyer. She's a hydropower licensing guru. We're talking representing towns and cities, applying for licenses, navigating that entire process from the initial environmental studies all the way to stakeholder negotiations.
Okay, break it down for me. What does it actually involve to get one of these licenses?
Oh, it's intense.
Sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, imagine having to prove that your project won't harm fish populations, water quality cultural sites, all while making sure that it actually generates enough power to be worthwhile.
Yeah.
And then there's dealing with all the different parties involved, government agencies, tribal nations, local residents. Everyone has a stake in what happens to these rivers.
So it's not just about knowing the law. It's about understanding the science, the economics, the human impact.
It's the ultimate interdisciplinary challenge, and Carolyn's resume shows that she's been in the thick of it, representing clients before FERC negotiating agreements, even dealing with enforcement penalties when things go wrong.
Wait, hold on. Enforcement penalties? So she's not just helping clients get licenses. She's making sure they stick to the rules once they have them.
That's right. It suggests that she's not afraid to hold her own clients accountable to make sure that these projects are operated responsibly and sustainably. It's about finding that balance between energy needs and environmental protection.
Which makes sense, considering her early work at FERC, you know, implementing the NEPA process for all those hydro projects.
Right.
She's seen both sides of the coin.
Exactly. And her resume also mentions negotiating joint venture arrangements for hydropower.
Oh, wow.
This is where it gets even more complex, because now you've got multiple parties, often with competing interests, trying to work together.
So you might have a town partnering with a private energy company, or even two different states sharing a river.
Exactly. And each party brings its own priorities, its own legal and financial considerations. Carolyn's role would have been to find a way to make it all work, to craft an agreement that benefits everyone involved while still adhering to all those environmental regulations.
Talk about high-pressure negotiation.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we've covered FERC renewables litigation, hydropower licensing. Is there anything this woman hasn't done in the energy sector?
Well, we've only just scratched the surface of her contributions. Remember all those publications and speaking engagements?
Right. Her resume mentions articles in academic journals, reports for organizations like the Clean Energy States Alliance. Pretty heady stuff. What kind of topics was she writing about?
Everything from the legal implications of renewable portfolio standards, you know, those state mandates for clean energy, to the use of social media by utility companies.
Wait, social media back in 2011, that was pretty early for businesses to be thinking about that kind of thing.
Exactly. It shows that she has this knack for spotting trends before they become mainstream. You know, she was recognizing the power of these new platforms to connect with customers, to build trust, and to communicate about important energy issues. Sound familiar?
Okay, I see the parallel with her work on data science and AI. She's always looking ahead, thinking about what's next, and figuring out how to use those emerging tools to make a difference in the energy sector.
Right.
But her writing goes beyond just spotting trends, right? She's actually shaping policy.
Absolutely. Those reports she wrote on things like collaborative procurement of offshore wind and the legal implications of interstate energy trading, these are the kinds of documents that policymakers rely on to make informed decisions. She's not just commenting on the law, she's helping to shape it.
And let's not forget about those speaking engagements, Department of Energy conferences, American Wind Energy Association gatherings. It seems like she's comfortable talking to just about anyone about energy law.
And not just in the U.S. Her resume mentions a presentation on ocean energy development at UNESCO headquarters in Paris.
Wow.
So she's a recognized expert on the international stage as well.
It's incredible how she can translate such complex legal and policy issues into something that resonates with these diverse audiences.
Yeah.
You know, from government officials to industry leaders to international organizations, she's clearly a gifted communicator.
It speaks to her passion for this field. She's not just going through the motions. She genuinely wants to share her knowledge and insights to educate and inspire others.
And it's not just speaking engagements. She's also been a guest lecturer at Harvard Law, GW Law, and the University of Maryland. She's shaping the next generation of energy lawyers.
That's a great point. You know, it's about leaving a legacy, passing on the torch to those who will be grappling with the energy challenges of the future.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. FERC, renewables, litigation, hydropower publications, speaking engagements, teaching. I'm starting to understand why you call this an expedition.
Yeah.
But there's still one major piece of the puzzle that we haven't fully explored yet, and that is data science and AI.
Right from that data science dojo certification to her current work as a national speaker on law and generative AI, it's clear that this is a major focus for her now. And it raises some fascinating questions about the future of energy law and the role that technology will play.
Sounds like it's time to switch gears and dive into that digital world, ready for the next leg of our journey.
Absolutely. Let's explore how Carolyn Elephant is harnessing the power of data science and AI to navigate the increasingly complex world of energy law and policy.
All right, we're back. And diving headfirst into the world of data science and AI, I have to admit, this is where I get a little lost. It feels like every day there's a new algorithm or application I need to understand.
It's true, the pace of change is really mind-boggling, but that's what makes Carolyn's journey so intriguing. She didn't just wait for AI to disrupt the legal field. She actively sought out the knowledge and skills to harness its power.
Which is a perfect example of that forward-thinking mindset we've been talking about. So remind me again, what exactly is generative AI? It sounds like something straight out of science fiction.
Well, it's the type of AI that can create new content. So text, images, even code.
Wow.
You know, think about it. Drafting contracts, summarizing complex legal documents, predicting case outcomes. These are tasks that used to take lawyers hours, even days, and now AI can potentially do them in seconds.
Okay. That's both impressive and a little terrifying, but I guess that's the reality for every profession these days. So how is Carolyn helping other lawyers navigate this new landscape?
Well, she's become a national speaker on law and generative AI.
Wow.
Which is fascinating. And she's not just talking about the technology itself. She's exploring the ethical and practical implications for lawyers. You know, how do we ensure accuracy and avoid bias in AI-generated content? How do we protect client data?
You're right.
These are critical questions that the legal profession is grappling with right now.
So she's not just teaching lawyers how to use these tools. She's helping them understand the responsibilities that come with them.
Exactly. And that's where her deep understanding of energy law adds another dimension to this conversation. Because it's not just about the general implications of AI for law, it's about how this technology is specifically impacting the energy sector.
Okay, help me connect the dots here. How is AI changing the game for energy companies and the lawyers who represent them?
Well, think about the massive amounts of data generated by the energy industry. We're talking electricity consumption patterns, pipeline operations, weather data impacting renewable energy production. AI can analyze this data in ways that humans simply can't identifying trends, predicting future needs, even optimizing entire energy systems.
So it's not just about efficiency, it's about making better decisions, potentially even preventing problems before they happen.
Precisely. And this has huge implications for legal strategy. You know, imagine a dispute over a renewable energy project. AI could be used to analyze environmental impacts, project costs, even predicts the likelihood of success in court. It's giving lawyers powerful new tools to advocate for their client.
It's like having a super-powered research assistant who can process information at lightning speed. but it also raises the stakes, doesn't it? The lawyers who understand how to use these tools effectively will have a significant advantage.
Absolutely. And I think that's why Carolyn is so focused on educating other lawyers about AI and data science. She understands the transformative potential of this technology, but she also recognizes the need for responsible and ethical use.
It's like she's this bridge between the traditional world of law and this rapidly evolving digital landscape.
That's a great analogy. And yeah. I think it's what makes her career so inspiring. She's constantly pushing herself to learn and grow, to embrace new challenges, and to use her knowledge to make a positive impact on the world.
So as we wrap up this incredible journey through Carolyn's resume, what's the biggest takeaway for you?
Well, for me, it's the power of combining deep expertise with a willingness to adapt and evolve. You know, she's mastered the fundamentals of law. She's become a leading voice in energy policy. And now she's at the forefront of integrating cutting-edge technology into her practice. It's a reminder that in today's world, learning never stops.
And it's something for all of us to think about, no matter what field we're in. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time.